The title of my sermon this morning was Blind Bartimaeus. But as I got partway through preparing the message, I decided to change the title to make it more accurate, formerly known as Blind Bartimaeus. In everything you read, probably even in your Bible, you know how they put little headings, you know, titles in each section, including mine, it says Blind Bartimaeus. But he's not blind anymore. Amen? He's formerly blind Bartimaeus. John chapter 10, 46 through 52 is my main text. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, speaking of Jesus, and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, it's okay to call him that then, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So here we have the biblical account of a poor blind man named Bartimaeus. We don't know how long he'd been blind, possibly from birth. And he was in the city of Jericho begging. There were no food stamps, no welfare checks back then, no one to take care of him. All he could do was beg and survive off the generosity of others. There were very likely many others there with him, competing with him for whatever scraps and unwanted items people would give to them. Much like today. We give the scraps, we give the unwanted things to the poor and needy. How many has ever been to a church yard sale where people donate stuff for the church to raise money? You ever seen the stuff that comes in at a church yard sale? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Most of it's junk. Most of it's junk. It's just interesting. Just kind of a thing I've noticed in the past. But we tend to, not everyone, and I know there are a lot of people here this morning, you're very generous with helping the poor. But that's, you know, in general, you know, people give away the scraps. We want to give away the unwanted items. So in Bartimaeus' situation, some would help, but some would not. And they would pass by as quickly as possible. Much like today. Okay? For years, I won't go into that any further, you got the message. For years, Bartimaeus sat begging, and it was all that he could do. And in his experience, you know, being needy like that, and depending on the generosity of others, as well as his blindness, because you know when someone, you know, loses one of their senses, oftentimes their other senses are really built up. So over time, he must have developed a keen sense of hearing, and he probably would easily know when someone was approaching, so that he could beg for help. He was at the highway, or the gate of the city, and he could hear people talking, and he no doubt heard about Jesus. I mean, somehow he knew about Jesus, right? Because he called to him when he was coming. He must have heard about the things that Jesus had done. Lepers were cleansed. The dead were raised. And the blind were given their sight, among many, many other miracles that Jesus did, casting demons out of people and such. And forgiving people, amen, giving them a new life. Aren't you glad you've experienced that? So I imagine that Bartimaeus had hoped someday that this Jesus that he heard about would pass his way. And if he did, Bartimaeus would do whatever it took to get his intention, amen, to get his attention. And indeed, that day came. Now, just again, a little background here. It was the Passover season, and thousands were making their way to Jerusalem. Jericho was a few miles away, and people would often stop there to rest in their travels. And Jesus was traveling with his disciples, and the scripture tells us a large group of people. Somehow, I mean, can you imagine that commotion? You know, you ever been around a huge bunch of people? It's kind of hard to hear, isn't it? And there's like, you know, everybody talking at once, and it's just a lot of noise. But somehow, Bartimaeus, in all that commotion, heard that it was Jesus, that he was passing by, and he was determined to get his attention. So Bartimaeus cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He cried aloud, the scripture tells us. He had to. Here he was blind. He needed help. Amen? He needed help. And Jesus was coming by. And he knew that he could get help from him. So he cried out to him. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And what happened? He was told to be quiet. "Keep it down. You know, go away. You're embarrassing everyone." Right? And he cried out even more, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." I like that. They tried to censor him. They tried to get him to shut up. And he said, "No, I'm not going to shut up. I need Jesus." Amen? Amen? Praise God. And it worked. Amen. He had gotten the attention of the Lord who called him. I love that. Who called him? "Come here." He heard him crying out for help, for mercy. "Come here." He had gotten attention to the Lord. The Lord called him, and what happened? He healed him. Isn't that like the Lord? Amen? He healed him. He's known as blind Bartimaeus, or we should call him formerly, or the man who was formerly known, amen, as blind Bartimaeus. You see, Bartimaeus needed help. And he reached out to the one, amen, who could help him. And he received the help that he needed. He was blind. He needed sight. That was his situation. That was Bart's life. He was blind. He needed help. He needed his sight back. But I want to ask you this morning, what is your situation? What do you need? Amen? How many need help? Do you need help? What do you need? So from this account of a poor blind beggar who reached out to Jesus, that's important. Amen? He reached out to Jesus. He's our only help. He's our only hope. Amen? We can learn several things about getting help. Several things are needed to get help. The help that we need, the help that we desire. Number one, we need belief. And, you know, the Lord just keeps giving me this, and it's been, you know, the last couple of sermons where we've emphasized belief. Amen? If you will believe, finish it. Anyone remember? If you will believe, you will see what? The glory of God. So, in this case, one thing that we can learn, that we need belief. In verse 47, it says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" As I mentioned, he's sitting at the gate or along the highway, and Bartimaeus heard all the noise and all the conversation of those who were passing by, and he had obviously heard reports about this one called Jesus of Nazareth and about what he had done. You think that news got out? Huh? Jesus raises the dead? You think that's not going to get around? Amen? Jesus cast the demons out of somebody? I think that's going to get around. So, you know, Bartimaeus had no doubt heard this. And he believed it. Amen? He believed it. He had heard the reports about Jesus of Nazareth, what he had done, and he had even heard reports about who he was. That really struck me. Who he was. Because he cried out, Son of David. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David is a messianic title. Jesus comes as a descendant of David to fulfill God's promises in the Old Testament of a future king who would establish the kingdom of God on earth. The Old Testament speaks about the coming Messiah. It tells us what he would do. It says that he would open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears. It says that the lame would leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb would sing. Hallelujah. I don't know what Bartimaeus' knowledge of the Scripture was. Whatever it was enough. Amen? He believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And how many people who sat and listened to Jesus teach missed it? And yet this blind beggar at the gates or along the highway in Jericho had heard enough and knew enough about the Old Testament Scriptures to put it together and call him the Son of David. He believed. He believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah, and he proclaimed that belief by calling out to the Son of David, who was the source of mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. He obviously also believed the reports about what Jesus had done. He believed the testimonies that he heard. He had been blind possibly all his life, hopeless and helpless, but when he heard about Jesus, he found hope. How many know there's hope in Jesus? Amen? And why did he find hope? Because he believed. It's essential, isn't it? Believe, faith. You know, we mentioned another time that, you know, it says that Jesus could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Because of their lack of faith. Because of their unbelief. Belief is absolutely essential. So Bartimaeus heard about Jesus. He believed it. And that gave him hope. Because he believed. Amen? If you will believe, you will see. You will see the glory of God. And we had a lot of wonderful testimonies here this morning. That's the glory of God. How many believe those testimonies? I mean, you really believe those testimonies that God moved and woke people up so they didn't die. And healed legs. And healed my neck. That's the glory of God. Amen? Because we should give God glory for those things. If you will believe, you will see the glory of God. Bartimaeus believed what he heard about Jesus. He never saw him. Yet, he believed. And didn't Jesus say, blessed are you because you have seen, but you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. How many believe? You haven't seen him, have you? But you believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've never seen him, but we have the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God. John 20:31 says, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe? Well, that was awful quiet. Do you believe?
Yes.
Oh, that's better. You believe what the Word says about Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Bartimaeus believed what the Scripture said about him, about the Messiah, and he also believed in the testimonies of what Jesus was doing. And I'll ask you already, I'll ask you again, do you believe that Jesus is working today?
Yes.
Not just in the past, not just in the future, right? But here today, and we've heard many testimonies this morning that give glory to God of the things that Jesus is doing here and now in the presence. And how, you know, what a blessing it is to be able to come to church on Sunday morning and the Lord gives us a message for today in tongues and interpretation. He spoke to this church this morning. Give him praise. What a blessing. What a blessing. And a word of comfort. Amen? A word of encouragement. I believe it. Anyone else? I believe it.
Amen.
It is essential that we believe. And do you believe that He can help you with any problem that you have? Anything?
Yes.
Can He heal a cold?
Yes.
Can He heal cancer?
Yes.
Right? Can He give the blind their sight?
Yes.
Really? Yes.
Lord.
Absolutely. I believe that.
Yes.
Can He make the lame to walk?
Yes.
Amen. He's able. He's able. Amen? Praise God. Second thing we need in seeking the needed help is acknowledgement. This is also verse 47. And when he heard that, you know, it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." One of the best examples of this is sin. Of the lack of acknowledgement is sin. Many people don't get saved because they will not acknowledge that they are sinners. And if you cannot acknowledge that you are a sinner, you cannot see your need for a Savior. Amen? I've talked to people in the street witnessing, talking to them, you know, when we witness, we always present the Ten Commandments, because everyone's broken the Ten Commandments. And the Bible says that's the law, and the law is like a mirror so we can see ourselves. So when we come up and say, "You don't come out, you're a sinner, you need to be saved," point a finger, you ask them a question. Have you ever told a lie?
Amen.
And what does that make you?
A liar.
So out of their own mouth they're saying, "I'm a liar." They're acknowledging it, and soon as you go through the law, the purpose of the law is like a signpost to show us that we need a Savior. And when a man or woman or child can acknowledge that they've sinned, then they see their need for a Savior. And I've witnessed to people who never sinned. I've had people look me in the eye. "I've never sinned. You never lied?" "No." You never talked bad, bad mouthed your parents? You were always perfectly obedient? You've never used God's name in vain? You've never looked with lust? You've never coveted something someone else had? Wow, what a list. How many are guilty? Amen? But then I had a woman actually, nope. You know, I was expecting to hear angels singing or something, you know. Here was a perfect person. How many know there was only one? Amen? Perfect person. So if you can't acknowledge that you have a need, if you can't acknowledge that you're a sinner, you can't acknowledge or realize your need for the Savior. But Bartimaeus cried out for what? For mercy. Okay? It's important. He didn't cry out, "Help me, I'm blind." He cried out for mercy. What is mercy? That was his greatest need. And it goes hand in hand with compassion and pity and kindness, which he was calling out for. How many needed the Lord to have mercy on you? How many still need the Lord to have mercy on you? Amen? Praise the Lord. His mercy endures forever. And His mercies are new every morning. I'm so thankful for that. Amen? But in His mercy, what is it? What is mercy? In His mercy, God withholds His judgment and provides a way for us to be saved. He allowed His only Son to die for us in our place. Jesus took the punishment for our sins. That's mercy. We deserved it. Amen? Mercy means we deserve punishment. Jesus took our punishment. Mercy means not getting the punishment that we deserve. So Bartimaeus saw his greatest need was mercy, and he cried out publicly that he needed help. Okay, did you get that? He cried out publicly that he needed help. He wasn't afraid for others to know that he had a need. He wasn't concerned about what people would think. Okay? He was determined to get what he needed. Worrying about what people will think is a hindrance for people calling to the Lord to get what they need. Amen? We can't be worried about what people think. Amen? When you need help from the Lord, I don't care if it's for healing, or because you're having a struggle with sin, or whatever the problem, call out to Jesus. Amen? He's the help that we need. Now, let's be honest. How many here struggle with sin? Yeah, look around. So if you have a struggle with sin, don't worry about the rest of these folks. They're in the same struggle you are. But you've gotten to the point, like Bartimaeus, where you said, I need help. And he called out loudly, have mercy on me. Okay? And sometimes, I'm not saying you have to stand up and shout out your sin. But you know, sometimes we need to do something like that. You know? I was blessed, a few weeks ago, a brother from this church had told Pastor Lay that he had sinned and he wanted to come forward and pray for God's mercy in front of everybody. And that's what he did. God bless him. That's sometimes what it takes. Amen? We need to be able to not worry what people think. Okay? Everyone here has a struggle with sin. So if that's your problem, you're not alone. Amen? You're not alone. And you must be able to admit, acknowledge, and confess that you have a need. Bartimaeus did. And again, he called out to the one who could help him. Amen? You know, that kind of goes along with what I was talking about last week, where people say, don't say anything negative, like, I'm sick, because you're claiming it and that's going to make you sick. No, it's not scriptural. You know, Jacob testified this morning that he was healed. Do you believe it? He wouldn't have been prayed for if he wouldn't have stood up and said, I got a problem. Amen? By speaking it, he didn't cause that problem. He already had that problem. Okay? And I went over that last week, so we won't go any farther with that. Number three is persistence. The third thing that's needed to get help is persistence. Verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet. I underlined this part. But he cried out all the more. Go Bart. I love it. Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus had persistence and he had perseverance. He was determined to get help. And yet many tried to get him to be quiet. They warned him, the scripture says. They warned him to be quiet. What's up with that? Right? And usually with a warning, there's an implied consequence, right? I'm warning you to shut up or else. Right? I don't know what that was. It just says that they warned him to be quiet. I wonder what they said. Now, King James said they charged him that he should hold his peace. NIV says they rebuked him and told him to be quiet. The Amplified says they severely censored him and reproved him, telling him to be still. Wow! Here's Jesus. And they're walking. These are people that were with the Lord. This wasn't, as usual, the Pharisees. Right? How many times do we see that in the Scripture? This wasn't the Pharisees. This was people that were hanging out with Jesus. That were traveling with Him. Can you imagine? And here's a poor blind beggar calling out to Jesus for help, and they're trying to get him to shut up. Wow. Told him to be quiet. Why? Was he an embarrassment for them? Now I want to ask you, let's bring that into today. How do we respond when someone cries out that they need mercy? If someone stood up in the middle of our Sunday service, maybe even during the sermon, bawling and crying out that they needed God to have mercy on them, what would we do? Would we tell them to be quiet? Would we be embarrassed? Would we rebuke them for being disruptive? Right in the middle of the service. Can you believe that? Come on. Would we judge them? Would we feel self-righteous? Would we feel that we're better than they are? Would we feel that whatever their sin was, that we are above that? Well, I come to Emmanuel Chapel every week. I read my Bible. I give my tithes. And yet here's somebody in the middle of our service crying out that they need the mercy of God. What would we do? What would we do? Let me make it a little more specific. What if a homeless drunk walked in here this morning in the middle of the service shouting out that they have sinned and begging God for mercy? Would we tell them to shut up? Would we tell them that they don't have the right to come to the Lord in their condition? Well, come on now. I mean, I like what I'm hearing. But I've also heard, not necessarily from anyone here, well, that guy's drunk. I wouldn't even talk to him. Oh my. I've heard testimonies of people that God sobered them up instantly and they got saved. Would we rebuke him? You drunk. He's drunk when he comes in here. How dare you? What would we do? Would we rebuke them and tell them that they're being disrespectful? Would we quickly escort them out of the sanctuary? Ushers, get that guy out of here. Huh? I like what I'm hearing. I like your response. Or would we wrap our arms around them and tell them about the one who loves them and whose mercy endures forever and whose mercy is for everyone? Amen? I hope that's what we do. And I believe it is. I really do. I heard your responses and I believe it. I believe it. But it's something to think about, isn't it? Because like I said, I have heard people who are holier than thou, who think that people don't have the right. I've heard people, you know, I it's no pat on my back. I'm just doing what God wanted me to do. But I go out with my neighbor's ministry and I help the homeless. And a lot of times they're drunk. And I know a lot of people would say, well, they're just drunkards. Don't help them. Don't give them anything. They need the mercy of God. And if we can't show them mercy, I mean, is it really a sin for me to give that drunkard a piece of chicken? Or a pair of socks? Yes, he's wasting his money on booze. Yes, he's wasting his money on drugs. But he needs Jesus. And by meeting those needs, we open up the door and give ourselves the opportunity to tell them about the one who can deliver them from their alcoholism. Any former alcoholics here? Just me? Let me tell you something about it. It's not always a choice. Okay? It's not a disease. And it comes from sin. I started it when I was about 12 years old. But it's not always a choice. It's an addiction. You ever been addicted to anything? Drugs? How about food? Come on. There's a lot of people addicted to food. You know, a lot of people struggle with their weight because they can't not. So who are we to judge them when they're addicted? And we need to be able to show them the one who can help them. There's hope. We've had, in the past couple of months, we have two guys who were drunk at the time, and they were breaking down, calling out for God's mercy. I've had enough of this. I don't want to live like this anymore. And that's where I was when I got saved. I don't want to live like this anymore. And I could have been told to go out the door and get a haircut and get some church clothes and shave and clean myself up. But that's not what happened. I came to this church. And you crazy people were loving on me. And I was in shock. Because I've been to the church of the haircut. I'm serious. I've heard from the pulpit, if you can't see your ears, you can't be saved. Come on. And I came in here with a braid 3/4 of the way down my back, expecting to be rebuked, to be pointed at, even to be shown the door. Matter of fact, when Liz brought me to church the first time, I told her, no one better do that to me or I'll stand up and leave. But guess what? Nobody did that to me, and I got saved that day. So we need to be careful that we're not trying to tell somebody to be quiet when they're crying out for the mercy of God. Amen? We need to wrap our arms around them and tell them about the one. Would we love them even though they smell bad? We're going to dig a little deeper here now. I want to maybe make you a little uncomfortable. Or we didn't like the way they dressed. Huh? Well, how can that guy come in this church with shorts and flip-flops on and a ratty t-shirt? Doesn't he have any respect? He probably doesn't know any better. Maybe that's all he has. Who cares? Come on. Who cares? You know, I've told people before, Jesus didn't come to change my shirt. He came to change my life. So we need to be careful that we're not quieting people. We're not rebuking people. You've got to be like me or you're not welcome in this country club. Come on now. Or would we not love on them because of how long their hair was? Well, we already know the answer to that, right? I'm evidence of that. What, how many tattoos they have? Or how many piercings they have? Can we love on someone with 45 earrings in their ear and their nose and their eyebrow? And sticking out of their nose and their cheeks? Can we love on them? Yes. Who cares? Who cares? I don't care. Because they're lost and they need to be found. They need to be loved on and shown to the one who can help them. But by the grace of God, that could be any of us. Amen? And that's what some of us were. And again, I'm glad when I came to this church 23 years ago that I wasn't told to be quiet when I was crying out for God's mercy in tears. So Bart is crying out for mercy. He's warned to be quiet. He's rebuked by those. And what did he do? He cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He had a need, and he was willing to do whatever it took, including acknowledging it. And those around him, instead of giving him encouragement, they rebuked him and gave him discouragement. Amen? And this does happen in the body of Christ. And it's very possible that it was Jesus' own disciples that warned him to be quiet. Remember that they rebuked the children that came to Jesus? They rebuked the woman who washed his feet with her tears? Sometimes church folk can be a hindrance to those seeking the Lord. Amen? We don't want to ever do that. But even through the objections and rebukes of others, no matter what they think of us, we must be persistent and persevere in our seeking for help. Number four, expectation. The fourth thing needed to get help is expectation, verses 49 and 50. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So when you pray and ask for help, are you expecting an answer? Expectation. Bartimaeus cried out for help. He had persistence. He cried out again and again and again. We don't know how many times. Until he got Jesus' attention, and then something happened. Jesus stood still. He heard him and stopped in his tracks. He was traveling with a large crowd. He had places to go. Yet when he heard the cry, he stopped. Isn't that like my Jesus? When he hears the cry, he says, all right, hold on. Wait a minute. Hold up, everybody. Amen? He cried out. Do you know that Jesus will never turn away or ignore those who call for help? John 6:37 says, all that the Father give me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Praise the Lord. All to whom my Father gives or entrusts to me that comes to me, it says in the Amplified, I will never, no, never reject one of them who comes to me. Because we have His promises, and we know we have His promises, we should have an attitude of expectancy. Amen? If we believe, we should we not expect Him to move? So here it may have even been the same ones who told Him to be quiet. He got Jesus' attention, and what do they say? Be of good cheer. He's calling you. Well, what's that mean? Be of good cheer. They were expecting Jesus to do something. Doug, you shared in Sunday school how the Lord gave you a word for somebody to tell them it's going to be all right. And that's kind of what they were doing. It's going to be all right. Hey, cheer up, man. You got his attention. Jesus is going to do something. Amen? And we can get his attention because we can go boldly to the throne. And what's it tell us that he did? He rose up and went to Jesus. The Weast version, expanded version, says he leaped up. He leaped up. Too often, we don't have an attitude of expectancy. Someone who's in bad shape maybe comes to the altar, and we're thinking, I don't know, right? I don't know, I hope it sticks. I hope they really get it this time. That's not expectancy, is it? Jesus calls for Bartimaeus, he gets up and he goes. He was eager, he knew Jesus could help him, and he had expectation that he would. Amen? Expectation. Nothing was going to stop him or hold him back. Fifth thing is confession. Verse 51, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Confession, it's requesting exactly what we need. Bartimaeus knew what he needed, and we know what we need, amen? And he had no difficulty in stating what he needed. He was not vague, he did not waver. Are we precise in our request for help? Do we confess it to the Lord? It kind of goes, you know, back to the point about our admitting our need. The don't claim it thing. You have to claim it. I'm blind, and I want my sight. He claimed it, didn't he? He admitted it, he confessed it to the Lord, and oftentimes when we ask for help, we're vague, and we try to sugarcoat it. We try to clean up our sins, if that's what the deal is. Lord, help me with my shortcomings. Or, Lord, I haven't been perfect. Or, Lord, I messed up. We need to be straightforward with the Lord. Amen? Lord, help me. I lusted. Lord, help me. I've been a backbiter and a gossip. Lord, help me. I've hated my neighbor. Come on. Lord, help me with my anger. Or, Lord, help me. I've been greedy and covetous. Bartimaeus' problem was obvious. It was obvious that he was blind. And yet the Lord asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Amen? He wants us, the Lord wants us to tell him what we want from him, even though he knows everything. He knows all things. Bartimaeus made a personal confession to Jesus. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he told him exactly. Now again, I'm not saying we have to shout out our needs so everyone can hear, like Bartimaeus did. Sometimes it's just between you and the Lord. And I don't believe in formulas. Hear me. I don't believe in formulas. I'm not saying you must name every problem, and if you do, Jesus has to heal you. You heard that kind of teaching? Oh, I've heard this. This makes me sick. When I hear this, people teaching and saying, because of what it says right here, God has a legal obligation. Wow! God doesn't have a legal obligation to do anything for us. He does it out of His mercy. Not because we've got Him pinned to the wall with some document. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. I hate hearing that stuff. And people eat it up. So I'm not talking about formulas here. I'm not saying, you know, you got to confess that exact thing like that. And if you do it, God has to heal it. That's not what I'm saying. How many know that's not what I'm saying? Come on. But I'm saying sometimes we do need to do that. We need to not sugarcoat our sin. We need to be able to confess our sin to Him specifically. Okay? The Bible even tells us if we confess our sins, what? Confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that's specific. Confess our sins. Not just that we have sin. It says confess our sins. There's value in confessing. We acknowledge our sin to the Lord. We admit it. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another. Oh, that's getting uncomfortable. Huh? And pray for one another that you may be healed. Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What happens when we do that? We know how to pray for one another. Amen? We're not holding on to our sin. We're willing to say, hey, brother, pray for me. Man, I got a problem with lust. and I can't seem to beat it. And then you got a brother or sister in the Lord praying for you, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, a brother or sister in the Lord, avails much. There's value in that, amen? We know how to pray for one another then, and we can lift each other up. And also, we can rejoice when we see the Lord move. Okay? Now, we rejoiced this morning. We gave the Lord a clap offering because Jacob said he was healed. We knew about his problem last week. We knew about what he did about it. And this week, we hear that he's healed. And we can rejoice in that. And the same thing goes for sin. If somebody's got a struggle with something, you know, we can hear those testimonies too. You know, I really had a problem with my tongue. You know, I was gossiping all the time. I was backbiting all the time. But Lord, deliver me from that. Right? What does that do for us? That makes us realize we're not alone and that there is help available. Amen? From the One. The One. So Bartimaeus confessed his need, his specific need, and he got his answer. Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, for your faith has made you whole." Okay? Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." The results of his belief, his acknowledgement, his persistence, and his confession was what? Verse 52, "And he immediately received his sight." Glory to God. So the last thing I want to talk to you about is Bartimaeus' response. 52b, "And followed Jesus on the road." Notice that Jesus told him, "Go your way." What did he do? He didn't go. He followed Jesus. Amen? He had a heart of appreciation. The Master had touched him, and he was going to cling to Him. How many know we need to cling to Jesus?
Yeah.
Amen? Praise God. His conversion was genuine. He followed through. He had given his life to Jesus Christ. He made a decision and a commitment to follow Jesus. Have you done that? You appreciate what God did for you? And so you've committed your life to Him, to follow Him? Come on. Anyone? And that's what Bartimaeus did. And that's what we need to do. Many, how many know salvation's free? But many people want the free gift of salvation. You know, they want their ticket to heaven. They want the benefits, but not the surrender or the sacrifice or the commitment. Matthew 10, 30 and 39, "And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake," what? "Shall find it." Amen? I like the Keith Green song, "To obey is better than sacrifice. I don't need your money, I want your life." Another verse says, "To obey is better than sacrifice. I want more than Sundays and Wednesday nights." Woo! That hurts. Amen? He wants it all. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen? Salvation is free and there's nothing we can ever do to earn it. But in response to it, He wants your life. All of it. Not just a part. 100%, because 99.9999999 will not do. How many know it? Amen? Praise the Lord. Just ask every head bowed, every eyes closed. I know that there are many people here with needs. Some are great, some are small. But I want to tell you this morning, hear what I'm saying. Jesus cares about every one of them. Amen? And I hope this sermon has encouraged you in seeking help from the Lord, the One who can help you. The Word tells us that He is a present help in time of need. And again, I know many people here have needs. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." I want to tell you, my friends, mercy and grace is there, available. Seek the One who can meet those needs. So I just want to say right now, You know, let's forget about what time it is. Let's forget about lunch. Let's focus on the Lord right now. And I want to say right now, if you have a need, any need, I'm inviting you to the altar right now to pray. Will you come? Anyone with any need, come to this altar right now. And you must believe. You must have faith. You must acknowledge that you have a need. And you must be persistent. Ask and keep on asking. We don't always understand why the Lord delays the answer. Maybe to teach us something. Amen? Sometimes the answer is no. We must trust that He knows best. This altar is still open. Come. Any need at all, come to this altar. And you must have an expectation which is tied to our faith, our belief, and our confidence in Him. We must confess our problem, our sickness, or our sin to Jesus. And we must be committed to follow Him. I want to tell you this morning, if you're not sold out 100% for Christ, you need to commit today to give Him all of your life. Amen?
Thank you for the message in Jesus' name. Pray in each and every one.